This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We come to H time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we hope it is a great day. Hope you're having a great day so far. Appreciate you getting up with us. We are with you till 10 a.m. I'm Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. Is it a great day for you so far, my friend?
It's a great day. It's a great day. Yeah. I try not to think about Nico Collins too much. I guess the great news out of yesterday's press conference was that DeMeco said that Nico will be back this year. So yeah. with little clarity other than that, right. It sounds like everything will be just fine, Sean.
Well, it sounds like he didn't get the type of injury that you scared the hell out of everybody with yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, did I?
Well, you did. Really? I had, as you know, at least a couple days a week, I go see what the people are saying about things at a local watering hole. And I had at least
It's your responsibility to go drink.
It's I got to be out there with the people and see what they're saying out there about the sports world and about Payne and Pendergast. And I had no fewer than three people, which was a large percentage of the sample size of people in that particular domicile.
Yeah.
And they said, man, thank God Nico said he'll be back this year because Seth scared the hell out of me yesterday.
Right, good. That's good. I'm stoking.
You're popping.
Stoking the fear. That's what people need in an election year is more reasons to get alarmed about various things.
You had the possibility.
If you have people from all directions trying to tell you the world's about to end, then yes.
Seth was five words away from amputation of that leg yesterday, man. I was getting nervous, too. I'm like, dang,
smells
Seth.
Of almonds.
But it looks like it'll be a little less severe than that. He will be back this year. But I'm with you. Like, I'm still worried about this. Like, the offense, the sample that we have of this season so far, sans Nico Collins, involves an offense that had no touchdowns after he got... Once Nico Collins crossed the goal line with his gimpy hamstring, that was it for the touchdowns on Sunday. It was all Kaimi all the time after that.
It was...
He didn't score any
it's
touchdowns.
It's a potent weapon the Texans have there in Kaimi Fairbairn that's going to be... I need this team to set records for field goals while Nico Collins is out.
Player of the week, by the way.
Player of the week.
Kaimi Fairbairn.
Got the big H-Town necklace chain thing again.
Yep.
I think as far as Nico and at least a few listeners can claim victory on this, including my retired lawyer, the prolific emailer of me, that as soon as a couple weeks ago he had that little hamstring scare on a Thursday, he showed up on the injury report, that maybe, okay, this is a classic. All right, you guys should have shut him down then. It's a hamstring. Don't mess with this. Don't try to play through it. Doesn't ever seem like it ends well when somebody tries to nurse a hamstring.
Right.
Without being able to go back in time, at the very least, maybe this is them saying, all right, look, we tried to play through it and manage it, but no, you need several weeks of rest.
Yeah.
So hopefully it's just a classic normal hamstring tweak, but you want to just be sure he gets 4 weeks of rest, gets it completely healthy and feeling good so that you can finish the duration.
And this is where Stephon Diggs, the luxury item, comes in. This allows you to... I mean, I think they still probably would have shut down Nico if Diggs weren't on the team.
Yeah.
But this is where... I think it was just as big a reason to get Stephon Diggs because of Tank and Nico's injury issues as it was trying to elevate the offense with Nico and Tank out there with Diggs. You know what
Sean,
I mean?
If Casario wants to shop at the Dior store, he goes to the Dior store and buys a Stephon Diggs.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Carlos.
If I want a Stephon Diggs, I'll go and buy the Stephon Diggs. Yes. That's what I do.
Yep.
So likewise with that. How much time did you spend contemplating Davante Adams yesterday?
Zero.
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 I spent a little time contemplating him.
Zero. Not zero.
I started, but... because there's immediately, okay, you know, like Lopez came in and he was like, nope, it's the dumbest thing ever. But then I got other people that aren't, you know, that aren't idiots at all saying, hey, man, like, why not? If you're going for a Super Bowl, why not this year? I'm holding it in reservation.
Yeah.
But as of right now, I didn't think it would be overkill for a hamstring injury that, is, as far as right now, we don't have any reason to believe it's going to last more than a few weeks.
Yeah, the fact of the matter is, the Texans should be active at the trade deadline. They're a Super Bowl contender. The same way we talk about the Astros every year, even though they're a really good team, we're like, wait, they can still use one of these or one of those at the trade deadline. I think that's the Texans should be fishing. And by the way, not only should they be looking around, Nick should be calling about Devontae Adams just to see
what
how
the
market's
is.
Going. Absolutely. So
right. When
I say zero, it wasn't exactly zero. I mean, we've got Devontae in the rundown today, so it wasn't zero. I just don't think it's going to happen. And I'm with you. Overkill is a good word for it. Let's hear from D'Amico Ryans from yesterday. D'Amico and CJ both, very first question, predictably, out of the chute for each of them, was the Nico injury effect. This is D'Amico Ryans first on losing Nico Collins and the effect on the offense.
Yeah, I'm fortunate that we'll, you know, not have Nico. Great player, been a great player all year for us, best receiver in the league, but he'll take the time to get healthy. He'll be back for us, so encouraged by that news. He'll be back at some point this season. And it's like always in the NFL, there's always injuries that happen in our game, and it's opportunity for other guys to step up and make the most of their opportunity. That's what the league is about. A lot of guys who have stepped in when other guys were out and made a name for themselves and, you know, made some big plays in the league. So we're looking for the same thing for whoever it may be. Guys just owning their opportunity.
Do you expect it to be the minimum 4 games, or could it be longer?
No, I'm not getting into all that. We'll see where we end up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he, you know, basically shut down any chance of any kind of other elucidation. Is that a word? It's a word that popped on my brain. Illumination? Anyway, he's not going to tell us much.
Yeah.
He's going to say nothing about nobody, okay?
Nope.
The question is, you know what we heard yesterday from D'Amico and CJ a whole lot was the classic, guys got to step up, you know? All right, we're at that portion of the season where guys got to step up. Both of your offensive tackles were banged up and out of practice yesterday, by the way, as well. I feel a little bit better about that because Blake Fisher did way better last week than he had the week before.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to be in a situation where Nick Broeker or somebody else is playing one offensive tackle and Blake Fisher's playing the other. This is we're in such a weird spot with the Texans right now. They're 4-1, and yet I think everybody, including the team themselves, knows that they're in no position to act like, well, we're just going to go in there and roll over the Patriots up there in New England.
I actually think it's a great spot. I think the fact that they've played that way the first 5 games and they feel that way, I think the chances of them taking the Patriots lightly this week is more minimal than usual. I think D'Amico's a guy who's typically pretty good at trying to keep the team, even though they lost to some bad teams last year. I think he's pretty good about setting the guardrails of how you should feel about yourself as a team. I think it's even easier to do that knowing that the team top down feels like they haven't played even close to their A game yet. I actually think this is a good thing for this weekend that they haven't played that well.
Yeah, they very much, and that's been the tone of all the players as they talk about it, is that they all seem a little bit frustrated that they haven't looked like the team that I think they think they're capable of being. So yeah, I don't worry about it being an upset game or anything. It's hard not to think about last year and the Panthers game or the Jets game, where you went in and looked like the worst version of yourselves versus teams that were supposedly, well, at least with the Jets, at least supposedly Zach Wilson was a bad quarterback.
Right.
I'll never say anything ever again about a quarterback being bad forever now that Sam Darnold and Geno Smith and these guys
have come
along.
Yeah, so, Baker Mayfield, the recycle projects, man. Yeah.
But don't be the team that is an example of why, hey, you can't give up on this quarterback.
Right.
And with Drake May, there's obviously, and we'll talk about Drake May in the next segment. There's just a dis-ease right now.
Yeah.
Not disease, but dis-ease.
D-I-S-E-A-S-E. Yeah. Dis-ease. Yeah. I like that. So here's C.J. Stroud yesterday on the wide receiver room stepping up without Nico Collins.
Yeah, you know, losing somebody like Nico is very tough, as you guys know. So, you know, hoping that he stays good, mental, you know. get back physically, but, you know, we're just, you know, hoping that he just, you know, understands that, you know, we're going to miss him. And, you know, we got to just have other guys step up, which I think, you know, they can. And I think Hutch will do a great job, Rob, Mitch. So, you know, definitely just next man up mentality. Got to be able to win football games without him for a little bit.
They're as equipped as any team to lose a guy like Nico Collins. Like, you look around the league, like if Justin Jefferson right. went out with Minnesota, that would be a tough putt for Minnesota move. Like if Miami's already lost their quarterback, but pretend two is there. I know they have Jaylen Waddle, but if they lost Tyreek Hill, he is the engine that makes that thing go. Nico is that for the Texans, but I feel like between the depth at wide receiver that they've got with Diggs and the fact that I do think CJ is above that line of quarterbacks that can squeeze five catches out of Xavier Hutchinson in a game if he needed to. You know, that'll get Dalton Schultz involved. You know what I mean?
In the long view of things, too, this might ultimately end up being a good thing just in that, hey, the teams are showing you all this cover, too. The team's struggling to really effectively move. They can move the ball, but they can't finish the deal. You know, they're kicking a lot of field goals. The one thing that's been the antidote to that a little bit has been Nico Collins. Despite all these things where it's just this odd dynamic this year where the offense and players on the team will be talking about how teams are limiting them, and it's hard to do this, it's hard to do that, and yet, but by the way, Nico Collins is leading the league in receiving.
By a mile.
I'm trying to reconcile those two things. At the end of the day, what it comes down to is the cover two itself isn't as much of an issue as the Texans just not being able to run the ball in general, and then also the self-inflicted penalty wounds, mostly in the version of penalties. Yeah. So yeah, all right, you can't move the ball versus cover two, except Nico Collins is leading the league in receiving.
Yeah, by 100
yards. So there's
yards.
That.
Yeah.
So maybe without Nico Collins out for there for a little bit, it's kind of like when you make a basketball player only use his left hand. He's gonna get better. Begin when you make him realize, okay, he can go both ways. So use only your left hand this week.
Right.
We're gonna tie Nico Collins behind your back, and you're gonna just be all left this week, maybe you'll get better.
It is a little like the Texans themselves, though. Like if you just watch the Texans play to play and didn't look at the scoreboard, you'd be like, all right, I mean, I think they're pretty good. They're good, I guess. I mean, I don't know. What's their record? 4-1. They have one of the three or four best records in the NFL. You know, they're 4-1. Negative point differential. They're 4-1. They know how to get it done. All right.
Just yards per play, though. That's the thing. The down by down thing. Any of these games in the box score, you're looking at any given moment, the Texans are averaging like 6.5 yards per play. The opponent is averaging, 3.5 yards per play.
Yeah.
What's the score?
Yeah.
16-13. What the hell is going on here?
How's the turnover battle? -2.
Yeah.
Really? They must have lost. No, they beat the Bills, who are like one of the best teams in football. Yeah. It's crazy. All right, so we're going to talk about some more craziness throughout the show today. We got a lot of stuff to get to on the show. Drake May is going to be starting. The Texans get a rookie quarterback in his first start. What did D'Amico Ryans have to say about that? What did C.J. Stroud have to say? C.J. had a great cut yesterday. What advice would you give Drake May? We'll have that for you coming up next.
Yeah, it was good.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Been a pretty solid year so far in the NFL for rookie starters. The three rookies that have started every game this year for their teams, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, Bo Nix, their teams are all above .500 right now. Not all of that due to the play of the rookie quarterback, but nevertheless, teams starting rookies all in the mix right now in their divisions. The Patriots are going to have a tough time getting back into the mix in the AFC East. They're 1-4. They're not a good football team, and they're going to roll with Drake May. They're benching Jacoby Brissett. They're going to start the rookie third overall pick out of North Carolina. We'll hear CJ on Drake May on draft night in just a second, but this was funny yesterday. CJ was asked, what advice would you give to Drake May for his first start?
Fellow high draft pick who started as a rookie, is there any advice you would give someone in that situation?
Not this week. But no, I'm rooting him. I hope he does good, not against us, but in his future.
I love the little giggle at the end.
That was like the only CJ was pretty morose for most of the press conference. It was kind of one of those, I don't try to read into it. You know, sometimes CJ comes in and he never looks like, I can't believe I have to do this media. But there's times during the season where sometimes it just feels like, all right, this is not what he really wants to be doing right now. He'd rather be. So, like, it seemed like that kind of press conference. But then you add to that the fact that Nico Collins,
right.
he had to talk about Nico Collins. But, yeah, I was waiting for him to make a joke about, like, about Caleb Williams. You know, like, I'm not going to give Drake May advice so people can run with
okay.
a big... Should CJ Stroud be giving Drake May advice?
Dude,
he's only 1 year older than him.
That's a really good take. I had not even thought about that. I was hoping he would say something like, yeah, target Stingley. That's my advice. You know, throw it Stingley. You should do that. Yeah.
That was another thing, by the way, too. Yesterday, Kamari Lassiter on the injury report didn't practice
with
his shoulder. I think that the fact that it's a shoulder injury for Kamari Lassiter, I don't worry about it as much because I know that Kamari Lassiter is the quintessential, you know, put me out there, roll me out there on a gurney. I want to play. I can't let the fellas down.
Right.
So a mere shoulder for a defensive back, no big deal.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll get to all the injuries and headlines in just a minute. Here was C.J. Stroud. This is on draft night. The Micah Parsons, C.J. Stroud. Little kind of draft deal they did. That was a lot of fun. There was a lot
of... The rolling road show they have of CJ making Micah look like a moron.
Right, yeah. Right.
That they had all off season long.
They did it for 4 hours on draft night.
Yeah, I know.
here was CJ Stroud. He was talking about, like, Drake May. He thought on that night that Drake May is the most pro-ready of all the rookie quarterbacks.
Who's the most NFL-ready?
I feel like Drake May is. You watch his tape. Just his arm talent jumps off. I mean, he's one guy that, like, to me, like, the one mistake that I did early on in, like, this first couple of games was I moved around too much. Like, I didn't get the ball out on time. I started taking risks that weren't even downfield. They're necessarily scrambling. And when you watch his tape, he scrambles when he needs to. He throws guys open. He has like, right here, he has rollout ability, like, different arm angles.
I think that by the man, CJ's definitely going to go into commentary when he's done.
He's so good
because he's not afraid to, you know, throw opinions out there as a young player. But then also, just he just loves watching football.
He literally watched Drake May tape. I guarantee it.
Right. And I wonder, like, you know, because I listen to a lot of the Bills stuff in the off season because of all the Diggs drama and everything. They would ask about Josh Allen's input on things. And basically, being the GM would say, well, yeah, I mean, he sends in guys that he liked or saw, but he's watching YouTube highlights. I'm like, all right, well, that's not quite the same watching guys on YouTube and seeing the whatever. I feel like CJ might watch the All-22
yes,
a lot of these guys.
100%.
He just loves watching other quarterbacks play and operate. I think everything he said is, I would echo the same thing from the stuff I've watched of Drake May. I think the one thing as a rookie quarterback you look at and you can say, man, the kid is very willing to stick there and, you know, wait for a play to develop, sometimes to a fault, that he'll hang on. He can pull the ball down and run, but that sometimes he'll stick on his first read. The classic thing that a lot of young quarterbacks do.
Yeah.
So... as a defense, like classic versus any rookie quarterback, you're going to probably heat him up a little bit with the blitz, and you want to maybe start off playing kind of conservatively to him, but you want to have some wrinkles in there that make him feel real good about what he's seeing and then take it away from him.
Yeah.
You just ambush him a little bit with lurkers and whatnot in coverage. So, he's not an idiot by any stretch of the imagination, and he totally 100% can run very well. And he can make some really nice throws. So it's I don't think that when you can watch his film from the preseason and from college, and I think that the defense is going to have the appropriate level of respect for him.
Yeah, that's the part I'm most worried about. Is I think they'll defend him fine in the passing game, in no small part because he doesn't have great weapons. But his ability to get maybe 4 or 5 scrambles that keep drives alive, that keep this thing a little closer than Texan fans, even without Nico Collins, anticipate this game being that's my biggest concern.
I think I think they can bait him into some mistakes.
Yeah.
Like, he is, like, he's got all those makings of, all right, which direction is he going to go in his career? Is he going to be a guy that always exercises good judgment, or does he have a little too much faith in his arm?
Right.
And, he, like, even in the preseason, he made some throws, like, some dicey throws that you watch in the preseason, you're like, okay, that was nice, but versus Derek Stingley or Sauce Gardner or somebody else like that, that's an interception.
Yes.
So that's what I'm hoping, is that he's maybe a little too emboldened by some of the good things he did in the preseason.
Agreed. Here's Nick Caserio on Texans All Access earlier this week. I know we have C.J. Stroud, but I guarantee you Caserio and his staff scouted Drake May for this very reason. You're going to see the guy early on in his career. Here was Nick Caserio on Drake May.
When you talk about Drake, I mean, there's a reason he was drafted third overall. When you watch him play in the preseason, he played well. So big, strong, athletic, big arm. Does some things that a lot of the kind of the quarterbacks this day and age do, right, to kind of the dual threat. So just make sure that we're taking care of our business, doing the right thing, at least defensively, making sure we're sound in our techniques, understand the call, and just being able to go out there and execute.
All right. So there's Nick on Drake May.
Do we have, when we do Five Reasons I Hate You tomorrow, do we have anything already locked and loaded for Drake May?
No.
There's a part of me I'm guilty of just, in my mind, I'm still thinking of him as Mac Jones. Because he's got kind of that tennis brat face.
Definitely.
You know, where Mac Jones was a bona fide tennis brat. He used to throw tantrums when he was a high school tennis player.
Yeah.
So I got to remember that. Just even though he went to UNC and he's got a punchable face, he's not exactly Mac Jones.
Okay, but I'll put a placeholder there on Five Reasons tomorrow. I'll do some digging today to see if we can find some good reasons to hate Drake May. Yeah. There's plenty of reasons to hate the Patriots, for sure. So we'll see if we can get a little Drake in there.
You know what? I got to kind of, just in hindsight real quick, the Bills fans, you know, we came up with the reasons to hate Bills fans. I actually enjoyed during the pregame show last week.
I did too.
They're kind of like a... Like, you know, they've got a reputation for how they act in their home stadium. On the road, I feel like they're just like a bunch of big, drunk, shirtless, fun people.
I'm cool with them. They were not in the Five Reasons last week. I didn't put the Bills Mafia in there for that reason.
But my favorite thing was, you know, they all wear these Zubas, which is kind of their thing. They know it's ugly and and Zubas are stupid. But they just, because back in the 90s, that's from their heyday. So I said at one point, as a bunch of Bills fans were walking by and trying to distract us by yelling, "Let's go Buffalo" or whatever, I pointed out that the men all wear Zubas, and the women all, the equivalent for the women is they're all wearing a 1991 hairstyle. And I got to credit, like, the four women that were walking across in the group in front of me, laughed their asses off.
Yes,
yeah,
they did.
They all pointed out that they had modern hairstyles.
They did. Yeah, not us, but you're right. Everybody else in Buffalo, yeah.
Don't worry, Brandy. There was not a I did not have to fight temptation in that moment. It was their haircuts were not atrocious, but it wasn't no.
They were good. You know,
a lot of buffalo wings floating through those veins of those women.
No doubt. The key to the opposing fan base when you and I are doing the pregame, I don't mind the yelling. It's when they stop and they yell. It's when they, you know, like when they sit, like Hurricane Harvey sat on top of us for 5 days. Like when you sit there for 10 minutes and yell at us, like we're the guards at Buckingham Palace or something, and we're not supposed to flinch, that's rude. But if you walk by and you yell, "Go Buffalo" or whatever, that's fine. It adds to the atmosphere. I don't mind that at all. Yeah.
I know. I always just point to my ear things and be like, "I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I can't hear you."
That's a subtle dig right there, because you're telling them they're stupid. Yeah, that's how I
know.
Like, you're really dumb.
I understand the way headphones work. Yeah,
exactly.
Too.
Yeah. Exactly. Here's D'Amico Ryans yesterday on Drake May.
Yeah, for Drake, what I've seen is a young athletic quarterback who has a live arm, can move around really well in the pocket, can escape the pressures. Like, I think for them making that move, looking for a spark for their offense, and you know, he can provide it. He can make all the reads, go to the right spot, makes good decisions with the football. Defensively, you know, there's a lot of unknown with this being his first start, so a lot of unknown for us. We just have to go out and execute, you know, our job the proper way. Not so much about them and focusing on what they're going to do or can do. They can do a lot of different things. You know, we don't know that, so we're just going to focus on ourselves and making sure we execute the details of our job.
What is the ambush factor here with Drake May? Is there any ambush factor that there's... I mean, D'Amico's talking about how little we've seen of the guy. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right, right, yeah. I think the ambush factor is, do you go out and do you play conservatively, just see what the kid can do, and then all of a sudden he's moving the ball effectively. This is where, you remember Case Keenum in his rookie year? Case was way more raw than Drake May was.
Yeah.
But Case, his first couple games out, you know, teams kind of just played him conservatively, and he was dicing them up. He was distributing the ball. He was doing all that. And that's when teams said, all right, we're going to ramp it up to level two and level three and see how you handle it. And that's where his rawness really showed up. So I think they're going to go in. They're going to respect him. And as D'Amico has done all year long, he's blitzed a lot more. And part of that is I think he has two good cornerbacks that he feels comfortable in man coverage with. But a lot of it has come on third downs. They've been effective blitzing on third down. The rat poison element of it, I guess, is the thing I would worry about. When the Texans look on the Patriots film, they're going to see a team that has the 30th best sack rate in football. Jacoby Brissett's getting sacked a lot.
The O-line's giving up sacks, you're saying.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah.
Yep.
Why? What did I say?
No. Okay. Yeah. I don't know if you clarified that it was on the offensive side of the ball.
For the Patriots. Yeah. Oh. Okay. Good call.
Yeah.
Pressures allowed 30th in the league. Percentage of dropbacks with a pressure 32nd in the league. 46.2% of the time, Jacoby Brissett was getting pressured.
Bad stuff happens when they throw the football. Basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Meanwhile, so I saw this on the 33rd team. This rat poison. Meanwhile, because they pointed all those stats out. Meanwhile, the Texans defense this season, yards per game allowed, they're fourth best in the league.
Mm-hmm.
The Texans defense passing yards allowed, they're third best in the league.
Yep.
Opponents completion percentage, they are first in the league. Opponents have completed 57% of their passes against the Texans.
Now, you better be. If you had someone go 9-for-30 and you're only five games into the season, you better be in first place.
And you played Anthony Richardson in one of those games.
And Trevor Lawrence in another game.
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah. So I think that's a don't get feeling yourself too much and thinking like, oh yeah, no big deal. We've been killing people all year long. I think that's the danger, is that you watch and you see opportunities on the offensive line and you start thinking it's going to be easier than it is. I think Mac Jones can make plays, and that makes him a wild card.
Drake May.
And him as well, yeah. Sean. If Mac Jones or Drake May show up, damn it.
They do look alike.
You hurt my confidence when you corrected me on the Jacoby Brissett
thing. No. I just was making sure the audience knew that you were talking about the offensive side of the ball for the Patriots.
Yeah, no. But Mac Jones is definitely not going to be playing, everybody.
Yeah, no. Well, not in this game. You know, who knows?
I'll call him Mac May. In my mind, he's still Mac Jones.
I know.
That's who the Texans are facing this week.
Well, I read at least two or three articles yesterday previewing this game where they're like, that's the big question for Patriot fans. Is Drake May more Tom Brady or is he more Mac Jones?
Oh.
And I'm like, well, chances are he's way more Mac Jones than Tom. There's one Tom Brady. Like, is he more Tom Brady?
Yeah, that's
I mean, I get what they're
saying.
How'd
you like that burger? Was it like eating the best steak in the world?
Yeah.
Or was it like licking a diaper?
Right.
I don't know. There's...
It's kind of a wide-ranging thing.
Yeah.
Text message, I'm very nervous about this game. Are you nervous about this game? I'm not nervous about this game.
I think I'm on the appropriate level of nervous.
Okay.
I think that the biggest thing, honestly, for me is, all right, you're on the road, going up to the Northeast, and it just feels like the Jets game last year.
Yeah.
Or the Panthers game last year.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, okay, it's not a divisional opponent. It's just somebody where you should have the distinct advantage, despite all the injuries or anything else like that, for it to be a truly professional team. I mean, the Texans haven't made a single one of these games comfortable yet, no matter how good or bad the opponent was. So I'm nervous, but not anymore. I don't feel like it's an ambush whatsoever. I think that, especially because Nico Collins is out, that gives you an immediate and pressing thing to focus on, is like, all right, if ever there was a time that we got to get this thing clicking, let's do it right now.
Yep. All right, we'll talk about Nico Collins in headlines. Bad news yesterday. We'll kind of hash out what that all means. Pretty long list of guys who didn't practice yesterday, so kind of a broken record, but today's injury report kind of big to see which of these guys are back and at least limited. And more hardware for a Houston Texan. We've got that. We've got Major League Baseball playoffs. We've got Aaron Rodgers. He spoke yesterday. So we got a whole bunch of stuff to get to in headlines. We will do that next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's get you guys up to speed. Nico Collins to the IR. That came down yesterday in the 9 o'clock hour on our show, and we've had a day to process it now. Here was D'Amico Ryans yesterday when he was asked about losing Nico Collins and the effect on the offense.
Yeah, I'm fortunate that we'll, you know, not have Nico. Great player, been a great player all year for us, best receiver in the league, but he'll take the time to get healthy. He'll be back for us, so encouraged by that news. He'll be back at some point this season. And it's like always in the NFL, there's always injuries that happen in our game, and it's opportunity for other guys to step up and make the most of their opportunity. That's what the league is about. A lot of guys who have stepped in when other guys were out and made a name for themselves and, you know, made some big plays in the league. So we're looking for the same thing for whoever it may be. Guys just owning their opportunity.
Do you expect it to be the minimum 4 games or could it be longer?
Oh, I'm not getting into all that. We'll see where we end up.
Oh, come on, D'Amico. Give us a time frame. Come on.
D'Amico, give me more.
Give me something.
I want every detail, dang it.
Yeah.
Jerod Mayo already dropped the ball and, you know, let everybody know who the starting quarterback was going to be already.
Right.
So, you know, you give a little too, man. Give a little too.
Apparently there was some glitchiness up in New England, too, that Jerod has always said, like, I'm going to tell the players before I make a decision like this. And a lot of the Patriots found out through media reports that Drake May was going to be the starter.
Oh, they got loose lips up there in
New
England.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's a stark departure from back in the day.
Yeah, yeah. So
Patriots way has gone astray.
Apparently so. Even with Jerod Mayo, a Patriot himself back in 2008 when they drafted him. It's interesting. D'Amico talking about guys needing to step up. We got a text here. Good morning, Sean and Seth. I believe this will be the time for John Mechie to step up and have a breakout game. What do you guys think? Great show. God bless. We appreciate that, Texter. I immediately think Xavier Hutchinson when I think of who's got an opportunity here.
Yeah, and we saw that last week with some opportunities last week. Now, the difference between Xavier Hutchinson and Nico Collins, obviously there's a few differences. But the one that got away last week in terms of plays that could have been one of the highlights of the week in the NFL was when CJ scrambled, when they backed up in the south end zone there. CJ scrambled away from trouble, broke a tackle, spun out of it, and then running to his left threw a very nice pass to the sideline. It hit Xavier Hutchinson's outstretched hands. Nico would have caught that.
Yeah.
I think Tank Dell would have caught it because both those guys would have been close. The ball was exactly where it needed to be. Xavier Hutchinson wasn't all the way to the sideline yet. It's just like that little bit of
a tenth of a second.
The timing, physical ability, whatever it might be, it just wasn't there. So that's where maybe it gets dialed in a little bit better this week. But yes, it's going to be Xavier Hutchinson. I'll be real surprised if John Mechie gets more than Xavier Hutchinson over the next few weeks.
Yeah.
I think he just is into the flow of the offense more so, as we saw during camp. Mechie came along late, but I think it's going to be Xavier Hutchinson. And then also, look, it's going to be Dalton Schultz. I think it's going to be increasingly Cade Stover. Some of this stuff that we've started to see a little bit more is, all right, can we... Really, a lot of it is, can we trust the offensive line enough to get those guys out on routes early?
That's exactly right. Yep.
And that's a big part of it. I think when you still had Nico Collins in the game, you could say, all right, you know what? Let's keep the running back in and the tight end in to chip at least before they go out on their routes. And it's hard to develop a quick passing game when you're also doing that. But they're thinking, yeah, we'll get Nico Collins a chance downfield somewhere. Now I think it's going to be a little bit more of just, if not spreading it out, but just letting CJ cook a little bit.
Here's who missed practice yesterday. Seth, I want you to tell me of all these names, I've got 7 names in front of me, which one concerns you the most as it pertains to this Sunday? Joe Mixon, Titus Howard, Laremy Tunsil, Kenyon Green. So that's 3/5 of your offensive line. Kamari Lazarus, Jimmy Ward, Derek Barnett.
The biggest one that concerns me is Joe Mixon.
That's what I thought.
That's the, you know, we talked yesterday where I felt like, without saying that Joe Mixon would be having the same type of year as Nico Collins, I think that if I had to choose for what's a bigger shot in the arm to really get the most out of this offense I might prefer a healthy Joe Mixon over a healthy Nico Collins.
That's interesting.
Just because then you can counterbalance each side. And there's one thing, I had to triple check this, Sean, because it's one of those things that this is, a lot of people are going to assume that I've gone stupid again this morning. Everybody's convinced most people are convinced that Bobby Slowick calls a run every first down, right?
It's what it feels like. Always,
every single time on first down they run. The Texans pass on first down at a higher rate than anybody else in the NFL.
Yeah, that's wild,
what
man.
You're actually seeing and feeling is, no, when they do call a run on first down,
it sucks.
It's way too often a stuff.
Yes.
It's a waste of time. So you remember those.
Yeah.
You remember those. It's like if you got all B's but two F's on your report card.
Yeah.
Your parents are going to notice the two F's, and they're going to fixate on that.
Yep.
And they're going to be upset with your academic performance. The Texans get an F so often when they run on first down that it feels like that's all they do. When in fact, no, they are very pass happy on first down.
And you triple check this. Because it doesn't feel that way to me. Like
I know, I
you're
know,
saying
I know,
it right
went,
now. You said it to me during two breaks, and I can't believe it.
I checked three different websites. I went back through the Bills play-by-play, and I'm like, oh, yeah, pass on first down, pass on first. Oh, there's a pass.
Oh, okay.
Run stuffed on first down. And,
okay,
yeah.
Now you went to that level of grassroots research. Okay, now that's okay. You're looking at
we'll
it.
See.
Yeah,
I posted it on X a little bit ago, and I like to do stuff like this that I'm not certain of because somebody will fact check me.
Yes.
And then I can delete it quickly, so I'm not putting. It's early in the morning. There's not that many people on X. I can I can get the misinformation out of there.
There you
if
go.
I'm, if I'm wrong.
There
yeah.
you go. Kyahmi Fairbairn, AFC Special Teams Player of the Week, second time in 5 weeks. We'll talk more about that later in the show. Aaron Rodgers was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday, and McAfee asked him about the rumors that Aaron Rodgers was a big part of Robert Saleh, the head coach of the Jets, getting fired earlier this week. Aaron Rodgers resents you accusers out there.
As far as any of the ridiculous allegations out there, I'm not going to spend more than one sentence in response to it, and that is that I resent any of those accusations because they're patently false. And it's interesting the amount of power that people think that I have. Which I don't, but I love Robert, and it was, one of those days yesterday.
God, I hate him.
So,
Randall Cobb and Nathaniel Hackett had jobs. One still has a job in the NFL because of you. Because he's an offensive coordinator. He calls plays.
No, but this is the thing that happens when, and this is the dynamic. So Woody Johnson and Aaron Rodgers had a conversation on the phone at some point before Robert Saleh was fired.
Yep.
They both say that they didn't discuss, you know, firing Robert Saleh or what have you. But decisions are made on behalf of key players, but sometimes without the actual words being said.
Yep.
So, and it's all speculation as to what happened on that phone call between Woody Johnson and Aaron Rodgers. And like, obviously, you know, without a paper trail or anything, nobody would ever know for sure. The thing about Aaron Rodgers is, and everybody, listen, if you're listening, please understand, you got to try to separate any of the kind of COVID type stuff or anything. Like, Aaron Rodgers is kind of like LeBron James in the way that he can just so brazenly say something with a smugness that you're listening and you're like, what the hell are you saying? Of course, like LeBron acting like he had nothing to do at all with Bronny coming to the Lakers. You know, like,
yeah.
Dude, why? No, don't act like you had nothing at all to do with it. Like, this is the guy that claimed that he didn't get the messages from the GM in Green Bay because he doesn't have cell reception in Malibu. You know, you can't believe the guy.
No.
100% that decision was made with Aaron Rodgers in mind. Did he ever specifically discuss Robert Saleh's job security? I could totally see that they never specifically discussed that.
Yeah.
But the owner came away from a conversation with a feeling that, yep, right now is the time to fire Robert Saleh.
Right, right. You can complain about 10 things about Robert Saleh without saying, I need him fired. You know?
Yeah.
It's a great observation. All right, real quick, Major League Baseball playoffs, Tigers up 2-1 on the Guardians after yesterday. The Mets beat the Phillies in their series over in the NL, so the Mets are on to the NLCS while paying salaries for a whole lot of guys that aren't on their team. Yankees up 2-1 on the Kansas City Royals after last night. Dodgers Padres tied at 2. The Dodgers beat the Padres last night in their NLDS matchup. All right, Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. We'll get Ross's thoughts on firing of Robert Saleh, Nico Collins through the IR. What does that do to the Texans? Ross was on the Monday Night Football call on Westwood One for the Chiefs and the Saints. So we'll get into all that with Ross Tucker. That is coming up next.